Father God, we thank you for the word today. And as always, we thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for leading, guiding, and directing us in the path of righteousness. Father, I pray that you anoint the ears of every hearer in here today, that they would hear what the Spirit of God would speak unto them. Father, I yield myself as always as a vessel, and I pray that you would think through my mind and speak through my mouth, that I'll be an oracle of God, that I will speak the truth to your people, Lord, to set them free from all bondages and all traps of the enemy. In Jesus' name we pray. All agree with that prayer, say amen. We're on a series, a big series entitled Single and Christian, but we're on a sub-series right now called Top Reasons Not to Get Married. We're talking about incorrect, wrong reasons to why people get married. If you marry correctly, things go a lot smoother. If you marry properly, the will of God can manifest in your marriage really quickly. But if you marry incorrectly, you got to fix the junk. Because you're in a hurry to have sex or whatever you were trying to do, that thing that is the wrong reason that we're talking about, you were in a hurry that you said, I'll accept that wrong thing. I'll get married because of that, because it's just good to have sex. It's good. No, it's not. You don't want to do that. Trust me, it is far worse being married incorrectly than being single and hopeful. Because when you're single, you can fix stuff. You got hope out there. I can pick this one. I can pick that. When you're married, you've already picked. So you need to marry correctly. So we're talking about the top reasons not to get married or the top wrong reasons to get married. Let's do a quick review. The first reason we covered was love at first sight. The feelings of lust and infatuation are often mistaken for love at first sight, but there is no such thing as love at first sight. There's lust at first sight. There's infatuation at first sight. There's like at first sight. But there's no love at first sight, because love is an intimate relationship that develops over time. Everybody say time. Say it one more time. Over what? Love comes over time. You don't look at anybody and the type of love that's required for marriage and say, I love you. You might love them as a human being or as a person or as a bag of potato chips or your favorite car, or you love your favorite dress, or you love your favorite hobby. You might love them like that, but you can't get married on that affection, that phileo love or that storge love or that erotic love, eros. You got to get married on agape. That's the unconditional love. And I don't know you well enough that I'm unconditionally commit to you. So I don't love you at that level just because I saw you and I saw what I like. The love that takes to stay married, you don't fall into it. You don't trip into it. You don't slide into it. It develops over time. Then we looked at rebounding. Rebounding. People who are rebounding tend to fall in love quickly because they're trying to escape the pain of their recent breakup. I've been in a relationship. We were dating for 3 years, 2 years, whatever's long to you. And then and then all of a sudden you're like, we break up and, you know, I'm hurting. I missed the person. And then all of a sudden the first thing come along, look pretty or cute. You're dating it. You're rebounding. And then some people rebound and they say, oh, you're nothing like the other person. Oh, I want to marry you. You're so nice. Let me snatch you up before you get away. Then you get married and you find out they're a whole lot like the other person. Or they got another set of problems. But now you done rushed into marriage for the wrong reason. You rushed into marriage because you rebounded. You needed to take time to heal after you had a long-term relationship. Center. Recenter. Who am I? Refocus. What am I doing in life so you can get straight with you before you jump right back into another relationship? The third point, reason not to get married, is loneliness. I'm all by myself. I don't have anybody. So there's all kind of bodies out there. You can go get involved in something. You don't need to get married because you're lonely, because we learn that loneliness is not cured by marriage. And it is far worse to be lonely when you're married and can't go out and hang out with people of the opposite sex and all this other stuff, because you got somebody of the opposite sex who's wearing your ring. Whereas if you're single and you're lonely, go on a date. Go out and join the spa. Go get an activity. Join a church group where there's other people at and you can solve that. But it's a little different when you're doing that and you're married. That person, like, where you going? Where you being? Marriage does not cure loneliness. I've known people and counseled people who are very lonely and also very married, but they're unhappily married. And just because you like the way that person treats you when they're dating, you need to date them long enough to see, is that who they are? Do you like that person? Does that person like you? Are they committed to the relationship? That's what stops the loneliness, is having a partner, not having a person. The fourth reason we covered last week to the wrong reason to get married is money. Oh, Pastor Cook, I'm just tired. My man died. My man left. And I got these kids. And I'm tired of struggling. I'm going to marry the guy. Well, do you love him? He's real nice. Do you love him? He's a good provider. Do you love him? He got a nice job. Do you love him? And his hair is curly, too. Do you love him? Well, love ain't everything. You can't spend it, Pastor. I said, yeah. And if you don't get married on love, you're going to wish you had love. Because money can't buy you love. Money can buy you some temporary happiness, but it cannot buy you eternal joy. It cannot buy you temporary joy. It can only buy you happiness when what's happening is you buying something new and you happy you got it. Just like when you buy that new car and then you unhappy when you get that new car note. Because money can't buy you love. Now let's take a look at this other reason. Reason number five, and this is the hottest reason, of course. This is reason number five of wrong reasons or reason not to get married. It's because you're burning with passion. Over 30 years of counseling, I've talked to some single folks, and I think they all have degrees in theatrics, because they'd be like, Pastor Cook, I'm burning. I'm on fire, Pastor Cook. I'm so tired of being by myself. Pastor, you understand, I want somebody. I'm burning. And you'd be like, dang. You know, it's like, is it really all that? But you understand, Pastor Cook, I'm a man. I got needs. Or I'm a woman. Everybody know got kids. My womb is learning, yearning. You can feel the heat when they talk to you, kind of thing. I mean, folks really, because they've been watching that TV, reading them Harlequin romances, you know, and the movie got everybody having sex. It's just like everybody to date just have sex. The TV show that. And you know, so you just date and have sex. I was like, that's not normal. It's not normal to having sex as part of the dating process, but they've been pushing it that it's pretty common now. And that was not normal, that having sex was part of dating. Most people waited till they got married, and you were a loose woman and a loose man if you had sex outside of marriage, and it was shameful. But because the TVs keep showing everybody doing it, and little 9-year-olds on Nickelodeon talking about who my girlfriend, who my boyfriend, you're getting a dating at 9 years old. And people think it's cute, 12-year-olds dating. Your 12-year-old does not need a boyfriend or girlfriend that they're dating. They might have somebody they think is cute across the classroom, but it shouldn't be no dating. At that age, that's crazy. Remember, fathers, you say my daughter couldn't date till 17 or 18. They had a number when they couldn't date. But it wasn't no dating at 15. If they went somewhere, they went as a group, but there wasn't no dating. And besides, if you're going to college, you may have to wait so long, you might be burning if you start that fire too soon. You know what I'm saying? If you get started real soon, the natural progress is we've dated a while, and I really like you, and you really like me, and I think you're cute, and I'm checking off all the lists till you're marriable. And now we're 16 years old. And see, are you going to wait till you get out of college? That's a lot of years after wait. You should not be starting that flame. You need to slow that one down. And people really need to focus on other things more so than dating. But since the parents went through that another generation, they just saw it's natural. They start dating. I said, but they don't get married as early now as they used to. So if you get your kid dating when you started dating, they got a long time to wait. It's going to be a lot of flame on, flame off. It's going to be a lot of Marvel Universe going on. So you need to adjust. People don't get married as early. And see, people come at that past cook and burn it. But the word of God has something to say to those folks. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, verses 69, about single folks. I'm a pastor, I'm burning. I want to get married because I'm burning. And the Bible says, if you're burning, it's better to marry than to burn. That's what the Bible says, Pastor Cook. So I need to get married. The Bible did not throw wisdom out the door. So let's look at this in the right context. Let's start off first with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, 6-9. The first thing he says, I speak this by permission. This ain't a commandment of God. I'm not laying out to you, thus saith the Lord God. I've talked to folks, Paul said, I've known folks, and I'm going to just tell you, I say this by permission. So he ain't saying nothing against the will of God, but he's saying this ain't stone. He said, I ain't saying nothing against the will of God, but this ain't nothing God told me. I say this by permission. And from whom? From God. The Holy Spirit said, I permit you to say that. But it's still wisdom because Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament because God said he's a wise man. So what did Paul say about being single and burning? Paul said, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. And what was Paul? Paul was single. Paul never married. He didn't have need of a wife. He was single. He said, I'm going to lay it all down for the Lord. I know I'm going to end up dying. I don't want no kids and family tied into this. I don't want them to have to go through all that because one day I'm going to die. I got the gift of singleness. Paul had that gift. I don't have that gift. Don't want that gift. I want a wife. Okay? I don't have that gift. Some men have no desire to get married. Some women have no desire. They don't want the drama. They don't want the responsibility because they're wise enough to know it is responsibility. And if they have the ability where they don't long for all that, ain't nothing wrong with them. There's nothing. That's good that you remain as him. He said, good. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and the widow, man or woman who doesn't have a spouse, it is good. Say good. Good. It is good for them if they abide even as I am. I'm single. It's good to stay single. If you have that gift, as Paul has, it's good to stay single. Because they know you run off, get married. If you don't desire to get married, because they that marry shall suffer in the flesh. How many people remember that scripture? Pastors don't tell that one that much, but that's a scripture in the Bible. It says, they that marry shall suffer in the flesh. There will be challenges to your flesh when you got to tie your life to somebody else's and their desire. When you're single, you're free to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. When you're married, there's somebody that has to be in consideration that limits your freedom. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and the widow, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, because they burn it, they're on fire. It's hot. But if they cannot contain, then let them marry. For that was good to be single, but it is better to marry than to burn. Because you sitting there got the hots and you just can't wait. I can't wait. Everything I see, I want to have sex with. I'm just crazy. I'm losing my mind. I'm in heat. You might want to get married, but keep it in check. Keep your flesh in control, men and women. Pastor, I got a woman. I need a woman. Hey, what kind of man are you? Keep it in control. But if you can't keep it in control, is better to marry than to burn. But what kind of fire we talk about? The ESV translation, English Standard Version translation says of the same verse, 1 Corinthians 7:6-9, we start verse 8. To be unmarried, to the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am, Paul said. But if they cannot exercise self-discipline, say self-discipline. What is it they not exercising? If you ain't got control of yourself, then go ahead and get married. That's what he said. He said, it's good that you stay single as I am. But if you ain't got self-control and your body going to lead you to fornicating and adultery, so if you're doing it, your body led you to it, you're out of control. That's what he's saying. So it would have been better for you to marry than to be sinning out of control because your flesh would get you in hell. It is good that you remain single even as I am. But it's better to marry than to be burning to where you sin. You're lusting. You're doing all other types of sexual sin. It would be better to marry because those things belong within the confines of holy matrimony and the protection for a woman and a man of a covenant agreement. They don't belong out there where you can be burning, you giving into your flesh and have sex because you lack of control. Then you got kids popping up like toast out of wedlock. And you out there and you got all this going on and you got the baby mama drama when it don't work out. Or y'all dated long enough to now you really see each other and ain't nothing holding you together. So you just tiptoe out the back door on her. She don't have the protection of that. You can't tiptoe out because the law will find you. You got a responsibility right here. Instead, he tiptoe out and be talking about, you sure those my kids? Cause you was kind of loose. Cause they'd be like, cause guys do that. They'll just be mean to girls. Well, you know, she was like that with anybody. She was loose with me. And you may have been faithful to him alone, but they'll start telling them lies on you. And it hurts your credibility because they ain't like that. Ain't some of that was happening. That's like the brother said, and like my pastor used to say, he said, keep your panties on and your zipper up, and ain't nobody going to get pregnant. That's called birth control. Keep your panties on and your zipper up. That it's hard to do it like that. You got to go, you got to break that those rules to get pregnant. But if you keep your panties on, your zipper up, you ain't got to worry about all that. And that's real. But when you're burning, you need to get self-control. Why do you need to get self-control? Because it's good that you remain single. It's better that you married and burn with passion. But you know what is best? Don't be trying to date nobody who out of self-control. Because, see, that same person, you don't understand, girl, I love you so much. You know, it's like you're just so fine. It's, I want to touch you because I love you. I want to be with you because I love you. And he burning, and he wanted to be with you, and then he ended up being with you. That same dude, 5 years from now, 3 years from now, 2 years from now, after he'd been with you, a couple of kids crying, all the drama going on, he feeling the weight of marriage, he feeling to take care of you, you mad because you didn't pick the right man, so he acting crazy, and you telling him about it, then he feeling you don't respect his authority, so he mad at you, I need a woman to respect me, then he go find some girl at work, talking about, your hair's still curly, you still got them cute eyes, and all this kind of stuff, and that girl, all of a sudden, he be like, flame on. Pastor Cook, I'm burning for my secretary. Pastor Cook, I'm burning for my co-worker. Because after all, he ain't got no control. She don't have any control. Remember, they just follow the fire. They don't care about the commitment to God to stay virgin till they're married. They don't care about the commitment to you to stay faithful to you. They follow the flame. That's why it's good to stay single. But it's better to marry than to burn. But it's best to find somebody who has self-control. Because when you get married, you don't need them flaming on for somebody else. And folks do it. It's called cheating. Tiptoeing out. Stepping out on her. And that's why it happens, because their flame is lit for somebody else. They promised you, but you all got married because you were burning. That's the wrong reason to get married, just because you're burning. I would find somebody who can control their fire, and I would work on being somebody who controlled fire. I wanted my wife, my girlfriend at that time, badly. We dated almost 5 years to date. I met her, we were celebrating the 4th of July was when I met her. We didn't date until later that month, and we got married July 9th, 5 years later. So we made a 5-year mark. I knew her, she knew me. That's a lot of time. And it wasn't like, I'm burning, Pastor. But I had self-control. I'm not going to be doing nothing to get nobody pregnant. We ain't going there. We both wanted to go there, but we didn't go there because we honored God. Now, it helped to stay in church, because you go to church and the pastor throw a bucket of cold water on you, it helps. When you hear the word, it helps you stand strong, because the devil's pulling you one way, and you go to church or you read your Bible and you get the word and you kind of, okay, I can cool it down 30 degrees. I wanted her, and I wanted her badly, with the L-Y on the end, badly. I wanted her. I'm sure she wanted me, because that's natural. Two people that dated that long and have dated well and liked each other. I saw her almost every day of my life from the time we started dating. There was very few days I didn't see her, because I'd come from work and just go by her house. Went by her house one night, and I'm knocking on the window real careful. Helen, Helen. And she starts screaming. You remember that, dear? She thought it was something, because she was half asleep, because, you know, I was like, you know, I want to say goodnight to my baby. I think it was later, like 10, 11 o'clock or something. She had to go to work in the morning or something, so she was already in the bed, but I didn't know. I just go like, you know, in the movies, they throw a little stone up at the window, and the girl just comes to the window. But Helen was like, somebody's at the door. So she went, next thing I know, light flipping on, her dad comes to the door. I'm standing at the door like, I just want to say goodnight to Helen. That's all I want to say. I'm sorry, Mr. McCurdy. I just want to say goodnight. I thought maybe she was still awake. He came to the door. Anna came to the door. An old family dog came to the door. She came to the door. I'm like, because, you know, I wasn't going to just run away like, I wasn't going to be a punk, because he'd be like, I thought I heard Robert calling in later when I come over. He's like, well, you're at my door. Yeah. And then you ran away like a punk. So I went to the door. I said, well, I just want to say goodnight to her. I said, goodnight, baby. That's all I wanted to say. And he looking like, you know, but it was a romantic thing. But I was like, I loved her. I wanted her. But I'm telling you, she and I didn't do nothing that was going to get nobody pregnant while we were dating. And it's not because we didn't want to. And it's not because we couldn't go get married and just struggle and make it work. My dad was happy paying my college at that time. Her dad was happy paying her college at that time. We were both in college at that time. And if we got married, my dad would have been like, oh, you that grown? I ain't got to pay your school no more. And her dad, I don't know if he'd have said it, but he should have said it. Hey, you got a wife? Then you get her bills too. Here, I give you her, and here's her car school note. You know, here's the next tuition due. So I was like, I ain't stupid. She fine, but she's still going to be fine 2 years from now when she graduates too. She's going to be fine then too, so I'm just going to wait, because that's going to be better. So he paid her college, and she graduated, and my parents did what they did. And I was like, but it's not that I wasn't burning. I loved her. I wanted her. Nothing's wrong with you having an extreme passion for the girl or the, if you should, don't, if there ain't no Eros, don't marry that person. If it ain't no fire, they ain't the right one. It should be some fire. But you gotta get somebody who's got the discipline to handle it. That's why I tell the women, put these men to test. I tell the men, put these women, because some of these women bad as the men nowadays, they want to get a brother hooked. They want to give him a free sample. Because I mean, Pastor Butler, you say, look, don't ever give that man a taste. If you give him a taste, you will mess his head up because he can't wait till the next time. And once you start that, you're going to have a hard time turning him off. So it's best to say, I mean, just tell them after you dated a few times and they start, you say, look, I'm saved. I'm married to Jesus. I'm saving myself to be married. If that offends him, don't take a counterfeit. That's the wrong one. That offends him. That's the wrong one. Yeah, but you get that but, you're going to get caught. You're going to get caught because he's letting you right now. If he doesn't think you're valuable enough to wait for, then he's devalued you. And you do that real early. Now, a lot of you all didn't know when you first get started. We had the blessing of going to Word of Faith Christian Center, just like you got the blessing of going to Joy of Faith. But everybody don't have that blessing where people are telling them what you need to do. Everybody don't have that blessing. They don't mean wrong. They just don't know better. You watch the movies. They all going to bed. You just naturally do it. We boyfriend, girlfriend, my friends in high school, they moved in together. That's what's going on. You don't know nothing about morality. It's no. It's going to be better for us if we wait, or better for us if we get married, but it's not better for us to play house. Now, some people, they find God. They work through that. Everything's wonderful. You know, the old, it's not without coming back and straightening it out, but it was a dangerous plan. Because more folks got divorced. When I talk about the people divorced, the 67 to 72% divorced, I'm talking about individuals that did it wrong. Nobody did it right and they end up divorced. I don't think my wife and I will ever divorce. I already told her I can't control you, but I know I would never divorce you. I can control me. And I believe that she made the same commitment to me that she would never divorce me. So we're going to make it work because we don't want to live unhappily. Back when we were younger and you started adjusting and natural fighting and you brushed the hard way, when it is, yeah, that's times. I mean, it's a challenge. She and I were not totally spiritually mature. We were good, but we weren't full grown. I'd say we were at least teenagers, maybe late teenagers, but we weren't spiritual giants. We weren't spiritual adults. So we had things to grow and we had places where we butted personalities and butted our roles and our responsibility. Am I going to be more responsible? Is she going to be more submissive? Are we going to work with that? And it's not the way we thought. It's not the way we thought. But yet we had enough of a framework that we knew the word and we knew we could look at the Bible and find what we were supposed to do. And Pastor did a good job preparing. We went to the single seminars. I even bought the marriage seminars. I wasn't married, but I bought that because I wanted to look ahead. See what's in there. What kind of problems they having? So we were quite knowledgeable, but we were not spiritual giants, but we had a level of maturity. We were not, I think when we got married, I think our pastor prepared us that we understood marriage and dating more than probably 99% of the people in America, because most people get no teaching on it. They get none. What I'm telling you all now, most kids have no idea of. They'll never hear it. They'll go and get married, do everything wrong, and cross their fingers and hope it work out, and the RSR will not. And they'll be the majority of people divorced. And they're hurt, but they don't understand. They still don't get the knowledge. They go do the same thing again. But if people will say, hey, it's more important that I learn to control myself than to get married because I'm burning. Because, see, burning is real. Burning is kind of a natural thing. It was nice when people got, I mean, pretty much you hit puberty and you got married at the turn of the century. Folks get married at 14 and 15, like I told you. So therefore, you're just not hitting where you're finding girls. Then you go marry some country girl. You marry a country guy. You all going to get a farm. Ain't nobody going to starve because you all know how to grow. You grew up in your parents' house. Ain't no job, no economy, no laying off. You got a farmland. If it's a good year, you're going to have harvest. If not, you don't. But you go with everybody else. That's where it's supposed to be. Everybody take care of itself. Self-sufficiency. That's why the world system, the Illuminati system, has taken away your ability to take care of yourself. So you cannot take care of yourself unless you do it in the world system. Go to school, study good, get a good job, or go into the trade, and then buy from us. Because we feed you here. You buy from, you got money, I'll give you some food. You don't, I'll let you starve. So this world system is designed to make you dependent, and also is designed to break up marriages. To make sure the basic civilization begins with the marriage. The covenant between a man and a woman, and in that covenant that they produce children. So the devil has always been trying to destroy that. They said, what is marriage? The secret of marriage is found in Christ and the church.
Right.
Christ and the church. That relationship between a man and a woman to be the foundation block, the building block of society, is why Satan attacks the family. He attacks the man because cut off the head first. Devalue the man. Because you won't see anybody modeling to a young man how to be the head of his household in a righteous way. You won't see it on TV. You won't see on TV a woman how to submit to her husband and not be abused. You won't see it. Because they're showing the woman's the smartest one. And if it's Nickelodeon or Disney, the kids are the smartest ones. Now, if you show a Playboy channel, the man is in charge. You see what I'm saying? Who's playing games with whose head? The Playboy channel, the Hustle channel, make a woman an object for you to do what you want to with her to please yourself. You treat her, you didn't even think about her. She just was something to use. You know how horrible that is, getting ahead of a man, that a woman is an object to use? But that's the world programming men. He ain't going to be a good father. He ain't going to be a good husband. He's not going to be a good boyfriend. But neither is the woman who watches Danielle Steele Lifetime channel all the time. Lifetime has changed now, but when Lifetime first started, it was women's TV. Anybody remember Danielle Steele books and her? That woman had an issue with men.
Right.
Every man was a dog. Every man was no good. And that woman's sitting there. Man, if my wife watched that and I came home late, where you been? Where you been? Well, I was at work. I got off work like usual. Mm-hmm. You got another family in another state? Because, you know, you watch Lifetime movies, the guy, they got a wonderful marriage, but he got two wonderful marriages. And he's a traveling salesman. First half of the month, he's in Chicago with that family. Second half, and that's this man just cheating on this woman for like 20, 30 years. And that's it. And that's Danielle Steele saying, you can't trust men. And women learn that. It's the world system on that television, people. Your marriage ain't going to work like they show it on TV. They don't do that stuff. Raymond's wife, like, if I was married to Raymond's wife, I would literally look at her. What do I need you for? Everybody loves Raymond. And they dog the mother. The mother's a traditional wife. She takes care of the family. She knows how to cook. And they say that's bad. Well, somebody got to eat. Somebody ought to know how to cook. If he has to go to work, then the woman knowing to cook, ain't nothing wrong with that, especially if she decides to stay at home. Ain't nothing wrong with knowing how to cook. But the TV doesn't show like the TV makes you think these situations exist where a woman runs the household and the man is fine with it. Only the weakest man on the planet will put up with Deborah. Pastor Cook, you sound like a chauvinist, like a woman just got to be home and be barefoot and pregnant. If she wears shoes or not, that's her decision. And I can't get pregnant, so obviously, what you talking about? If we going to have kids, she going to be pregnant. She can wear shoes or not wear shoes and stay home or go to the store. I don't care. But what's this crazy stuff about barefoot and pregnant? I can't have kids, and you want me to go to work, so I'm not going to be home. But that sounds like something reasonable to a woman's been trained and a woman's lived to accuse a man of saying, you just want me barefoot and pregnant. And I ain't know no man yet. Said Pastor Cook, the problem with her, she always wearing them shoes. I want to divorce her because she be wearing shoes in the house. I ain't had no man come here yet complaining about her wearing shoes. So it's crazy. But that makes sense to somebody who's been trained, just like it makes sense to a man that you ought to be however I want you to be, and you ought to be Susie Slut for me. Because the girls I saw was like that in the movies and the worldly stuff I watch. These thoughts destroy your marriage, people. You need to think the thoughts of God about marriage, and you need to find somebody who understands that. Because I'm telling you, marriage does not work if you treat your woman like a porn star.
That's right. right.
Marriage doesn't work if you don't listen to your husband and show him respect. Marriage doesn't work if you don't love that woman and cherish her. Wives, respect your husbands. If you do that, it will go well with you, with those of authority over you. But Pastor, you put the woman under the man. The woman is not less than the man, but she's under him in certain areas, just like the children are under you in certain areas. If the children started a children's liberation movement and started talking about, I'm not paying mom any attention, you'd think they're out their mind. Well, that's the same thing men think when women are like, you're abusing me by having... If he's not asking you to do something illegal, moral, and that's ungodly, don't fall out and make sure you date a man long enough to see if he's crazy and don't marry him. You married for the wrong. If you married for some of these reasons, you may end up with exactly the kind of man you're afraid to submit to. But that's why God doesn't make you marry the man. You get to pick who you marry. So you need to pick wisely. You get to pick the woman you marry. Choose wisely. Let every hard-headed woman stay single. I said every, what did I tell women? I told several women, because they were trying to change the way marriage works. I said, I don't do that. I only do holy matrimony. I'm not saying them crazy vows you come up with. That's not in the Bible. But I said, if you don't want to be under authority of a man, stay single. I'm saying that to you as a favor, not as an indignation or mad at you. I'm seriously. So you can be happy. If you want to be under authority of a man, stay single. Because if you get married as a Christian woman, you're going to be under authority of a man. Stay single. But understand why God gave him that authority, how he's supposed to use it, and make sure you find a man that uses it properly. And I tell the man the same to the woman. Don't marry a rebellious, hard-headed woman. That is not womanly. People, talking about this burning issue, it is good that you remain single when it comes to whether you're going to have sex or not. It's good that you remain single so you can grow up and continue to develop. But if you're going to burn and you lack self-control, it's better that you get married if you're going to be lacking self-control than to sit there and burn and start sinning and fornicating and playing house and all that, because then you're in sin. It's better. But it's best if you mature to where you have self-control, because if you marry somebody that married for the wrong reason of their burning, there's no guarantee if they've had you for a couple of years, they ain't going to be burning for somebody else. And they've already let you know they don't have the discipline to deny their flesh. They have to give in to what they want. And they will take your ring off, throw it away, and go out there with that girl or that guy. Because that person does not have the self-discipline to say that during the tough times. Remember we said, the preacher says, of sickness and health, for better or for worse. And people forget that they, in the marriage vows, say that you will stay together even for worse. Applying that there'll be some times in a natural marriage where there's some worse. Well, people won't stay doing the worse. And if you start playing house and having kids and you don't have that commitment of the ring, they didn't vow to stay with you on the worse. So as soon as the natural transition of a man and a woman being married and all the infatuation wears off and love may not be totally grown yet, and he starts seeing worse and she starts seeing worse, and there's no vow, no promise, no commitment before God, they tiptoe out the back door. Marriage is a good thing for a woman and a man. If you don't want to commit to me, you don't want to be with me. No, I want to have sex with you. I want to be with you, but I don't want to commit to you. I don't want to marry you. I don't want to do that, but I want to play house and I want to have sex. That's what a person's saying to you when they want to keep playing house. Well, don't you love me enough? And I put it in some guy's face. I was counseling a couple. I said, look, after this year, you guys got two or three kids. I'm going to ask you a straight out question in front of her. Do you think she's worth marrying? I knew that put him on the spot, but I knew they should get married because they were getting along fine. He just gunshot. So I put him on the spot. I said, do you think she's worth being married? I told another guy, I said, do you want your daughter to be treated by a man the way you're treating her father's daughter? And most men can see that. Because if you're doing something to somebody else's daughter, you wouldn't done to your daughter. You need to think about that. Because most men know, I don't want you to disrespect my daughter. I don't want you using my daughter as a concubine. I don't want you just having sex with my daughter. I don't want you playing my daughter. You know that. You know you don't. But you're doing that same thing to somebody else's daughter. That's somebody's daughter. Well, her dad's dead. She's somebody's daughter. She's God's daughter then, if you're Christian. And that's what God told me. God told me when we were dating, he had told me once in prayer, he said, remember, she's mine before she'll be yours. And I wasn't married to her, so she wasn't mine. You can play house, and after 5 years of dating, you feel like you're married. But guys, don't let the burning be the reason you get married, because it's not a good reason. It's better that you learn the discipline. And if you got that guy or girl on fire and you can't quench it, go ahead and get married. Now, you may be going through some lumps and bumps because it might have been good to stay single. You may not be as mature. You go ahead and get married anyway. My wife and I didn't wait till we were spiritual giants to get married. But thank God we had a lot of the humps and the bumps out of the way, or we might not have made it through the worst. But we made it through the worst, and it's on the neutral to good now. And it's getting better all the time. That's where we are. We're not talking about, we're not fussing at each other anymore. I wish I had married you. I want to be married to you. I'm divorcing you. I'm leaving. We passed all that. You know, we're past that. You don't get past that if you marry wrong. If you marry wrong, that'd be the very point where you break it up. Because you'd be like, I ain't burning for you no more anyway. So if you got married for the, you know what? You done lost that job anyhow. So I got married to you for money. I ain't got no reason to stay. You know, and you ain't talk to me no way. You always off with your friends. I'm still lonely. I want to divorce you. Any of those wrong reasons, every wrong reason in their mind, it was the right reason for them to get married then, although it was wrong, it'd be wrong reason for them to get divorced, but they'll get divorced anyway. And you may want your marriage to work, and there are people in this room who probably wanted their marriage to work, but they realize they can't control the other person who wanted to leave. You're going to be trusting that person all your life that they'll stay married to you, because they can go and divorce you and walk away. And you might say, I never wanted a divorce. I'm happy in this relationship, but they're not happy and they leave you. And the only way to control that is to check them out real well before you say I do. Before you say I do. Slow down, look at them carefully. Go back and listen to messages. Listen to it again and again. Share it with your friends. Share it with that person out there who you may want to marry. We're going to go ahead and close in prayer real quick. Father, thank you for the word today. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher. I thank you for every person in here today. I thank you, Lord, that you love them enough, that you shared the word with them. You touched their hearts, Father. I thank you that you opened their eyes, their understanding, that they will, those who choose to get married, Father, will have beautiful marriages. And those who believe in for mate, Father, I thank you that those guys will find those girls out there, and those girls who want to be found will be found, Father. I thank you that you're preparing them, though, for a good marriage, Father. You're letting them know what they need to work on to develop themselves so that they will be whole and have fulfilling marriages in the church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.